This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name.
Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's morning Bible study. We are in Leviticus chapter 5, and we're dealing with some, well, as far as the law is concerned, as far as in the United States, this is a weird area of the law. It's an area of the law that is strange to people. It was an area of the law that deals with people who do something that they may not even know they did. They may not even realize that what they were doing was wrong. But in the law, it is called strict liability, which means if it's done, then it's a violation of the law. It's a trespass of the law. And that's one of those things that I think I can explain really well in civil law. And civil law has to do with land and trespassing. Some it has to do with that. But as far as land is concerned, if I'm walking on my land and then there's not a real boundary there, they're just trees or a meadow or whatever, and or somebody else's land that I have permission to walk on, and then cross over it onto somebody else's land, and I'm working on that land, surely, as a matter of law, I have trespassed the land. I've crossed over onto the land, and I have done wrong by them. Now, in England, back in the common law, there would be a fine for that. There'd be some kind of penalty or punishment for trespassing on someone else's land. And by the way, if I'm playing football with my kids in that meadow and I throw the ball way too far and the ball lands on somebody else's land, then the ball trespassed their land and I'm the one who threw it on that land and I've trespassed. Then there's all kinds of other situations that people deal with that don't even realize it. If me and you and someone else sit down and say we're going to go in there and we're going to rob the convenience store, and we're going to go in and we're going to take some candy because I like candy and you like those big hunks of pizza, those big chunks of pizza. And the other guy that's going with us, he is a connoisseur. He's a connoisseur of ice cream. And so he's going to steal some ice cream. And the one that's the third in the same matter, the ice cream guy, he was a Blue Bear fan. If he goes in and he takes his gun with him because he's not too bright, and he, as he's going out the door, shoots and kills the women behind the counter, even though we just stole some minor items, we're all guilty of murder. And what do you mean by that? Well, we're guilty of felony murder, meaning we went in to steal some items, and maybe we went in to steal more than just some ice cream. I ended up taking a tire jack because I really wanted it, and you decided, since we're there, we're not going to take the cash out of the cash register. And by the way, the guy with the gun, he pulled a gun out, so that's armed robbery anyway. And so we've committed a felony, and then for no reason, he shoots the woman. He's guilty of murder, and we're guilty of felony murder, even though we didn't do it. And so you have that crime. If you roll through a stop sign and don't really realize that you roll through the stop sign, you're guilty of it. There are crimes that you're guilty of on strict liability. What does that mean? You just did it. You did it, and because you did it, you're guilty. There are some crimes that have to do with statutory rape, even though you may be 18 and you thought the girl you were with was 17, but she's really 15. What about statutory rape? And that is a crime which you can get convicted of. And so as you're going through those things, there are things that you are presumed to be guilty of, whether you knew or didn't know, because you're presumed to have known, you should have known. And trespassing on someone else's land, trespassing the law, is a situation where I might have not actually totally known the circumstances of the situation, but because of my knowledge of this law and because I should have known, I'm guilty. And that's what this passage is about. It says, if a person sins in the hearing of an utterance of an oath, and as a witness, meaning they heard somebody tell them that should be the truth, that they heard the truth, and they witnessed it. Whether we have seen an omen of the matter, meaning if he, and of the matter is not really in the text, they just written in to make the sentence make sense. But if you just leave that and say whether he has seen or known, if he does not tell it, he bears guilt. What that means is if I did it, and even if nobody knows about it, and I don't tell it, meaning I don't confess it, and that's what tell it means is to confess, I bear guilt. And so that's the whole point of this passage, is that there are things that we do that we trespass God's holiness, and we bear guilt for it, even if we don't consciously maybe make the decision to do it. It's different than the sins that were talked about yesterday, where we just have no knowledge of that even being against God's law. This is where we should have known, if we'd have been more self-aware, we would have known, we would have not done it, but we did. And so we bear guilt. And he says, and it goes on, if a person touches an unclean thing, whether it's a carcass or unclean beast, livestock, carcass of an unclean creeping thing, that means certain bugs, and he's unaware of it, he's also made unclean and guilty. Meaning, just because I didn't move it, but I wrapped up and I thought my horse was alive, but he's really laying on the ground dead, and I touched it, I'm unclean. That's a very weird story, but that's what he's saying. You touched it, you didn't even know which animal was dead, but you ain't clean. If he touches uncleanness, whatever uncleanness, whether the man may be defiled and he's unaware of it, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty. What he's saying is, if you do any of the, and we're going to go through some of the sanitary laws that God gives them, but if you do it, and even though you didn't know you were doing it, but you touched it, you're unclean. And that's strict liability, isn't it? I'm strictly responsible for it, even though I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't know my buddy was going to, he really ran my buddy. He's weird. He likes a lot of ice cream. And he shot the cashier and now we're guilty of it. He says, or if a person swears speaking thoughtlessly. Now, there's a lot of us that do that. I'm the most likely to do something like that when I'm watching a football game and my team is doing stupid stuff. But the truth is, if we say unthoughtful things, and swearing is one of those things, but hurtful things to somebody, even though we didn't know it. Now, how many times have you said something that really hurt somebody's feelings and you didn't realize it because you didn't know their background, you didn't know their situation, you didn't know what they were dealing with. Maybe you were even having jest and didn't realize that the people that you were dealing with were that way. If you do that and you hurt someone, you bear guilt. He says, if a person swears speaking thoughtlessly with his lips or to do evil or to do good, whatever it is that a man may pronounce by an oath, and he's unaware of it, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty in any of these matters. Now, notice what God's saying is we have a responsibility to be self-aware, to know what's going on around us and know how our actions affect others. We need to know how touching what we touch, as far as the world is concerned, especially as cleanliness, and we'll get into that into some detail. We need to know if God has taught us something and we leave and forget it, even though we may not know the matter, we're aware, this is verse 1, we're guilty of it if we break it. He says, well, says in verse 5, and it shall be when the guilt is in any of those matters that he shall confess that he has sinned when these things. What he's saying is you need to realize that you've messed up. You hadn't been right. And we can make all kinds of excuses for it. But the truth is that we ought to, as believers, as light to the world, we ought to do our best to find ourselves in these situations, to apprise ourselves of all matters that we can, to know what's going on around us, because we affect the world that we live in. And that's basically the common idea that comes from this passage. You have the responsibility, the duty to deal with the things that you may or may not know about. You have a duty to think through and to think about what is going on in your life and what's going on around you in other people's lives. And if you do something that hurts them, trespasses them, defiles them, whatever it may be, hurts their feelings with your words, even though you may not even be trying to do bad, even if you're trying to do good and you hurt someone. It's okay to say, I'm sorry, I did not know that was the case. I apologize. I hate that I did that with you. And then, now remember, we're not talking about untruth. We're talking about truth, by the way. Now, you can be truthful and ugly about it. And when you add that ugliness that you should not have added because you're trying to be light, rather than you've messed up. But now, if it's just about truth and somebody wants you to tell a lie, if somebody wants you to speak untruth so that it'll make them feel good, that's not what this is talking about. And you need to understand that, because the world we live in wants to tell us what to say, and what they want us to say is untrue. And so we don't need to be doing that, because that would be a direct violation of God's word and the Ten Commandments. That's being false witness. That's telling untruths. And there's nowhere in Scripture where we're supposed to tell untruths so that we can save somebody's feelings about the matter, because their feelings are wrong and based off of untruth. And that's an important fact. So I want you to mark that down in your brain. You don't have to be ugly about it. You don't have to be hurtful about it, but you must be truthful about it. He says, you should confess it, and he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord for sin which he has committed, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid, and the goat as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his sin. And this is a very inexpensive offering. And you say, Pastor, why are you going into what it cost? Because cost matters. What matters is that he's trying to get you to deal with your sin and how much it cost you. And your sin does cost you things. You need to know that. Your sin does cost you things in your life. Whether anybody ever knows about it, your sin costs you something. And even if it's between you and God, even only you and God know it. If you and not God are the only ones that know that to be true, it still costs you. And it cost you being filled with the Holy Spirit. It cost others also, by the way. You can't say my crime is just a personal crime. It affects nobody else. I'm saying our sin affects us. And if we're affected by our sin, then all those around us who deal with us on a daily basis are affected by our sin also. So your sin has consequences and has cost, whether anybody knows about it or not. It has consequences and cost, not just for you, but for those around you. And understanding that principle, boy, that's a tough principle to get in your head, but it matters. And so when we're dealing with crimes, and I'm calling them crimes, when we're dealing with trespassing the law, as a lawyer, I always say crimes, but when we're dealing with trespassing the law, when we're dealing with trespassing God's holiness and his truth, and even if no one ever knows about it, but you do, and you have trespassed it either unknowingly or not, being self-aware and taking care of business and knowing what's going on around you, being cognizant of those things. And remember, the Holy Spirit's your guide in this also. So you really don't have an excuse. The Holy Spirit is speaking. The Holy Spirit is revealing. Just because you press on ahead because you're not listening to the Holy Spirit because you think you have control of the matter does not dissuade you or does not remove the guilt from you. You need to get that, and you need to understand that your family and your friends are losing when you are trespassing God's truth, when you're trespassing that, even if they don't know about it. It says, if he's not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring to the Lord for his trespass which he has committed two turtle doves or two young pigeons. One is a sin offering, and the other is a burnt offering. Notice that we're dealing with the sin, and then we're dealing with paying for that sin in its fullness with the burnt offering. And he shall bring them to the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and then wring off its head from its neck, but shall not divide it completely. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood of the sin offering on the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be drained out as the base of the altar. It is a sin offering, and he shall offer the second as a burnt offering according to the prescribed manner. So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf for his sin which he has committed, and it shall be forgiven. Now, understanding that and understanding how God deals with that, we need to, as far as God's word and as far as ourselves, we need to be more aware. We need to be people who consider our lives. We should live, the best way for me to say it, is a considered life, a life where we have thought about these things, where we consider what's going on around us, where we learn about life. And I hate to say it, you can't do that scrolling through TikTok. You can't do that numbing your mind with things that are irrelevant. You need to live a considered life. You need to, in your life each day, you need to think about something you've never thought about before. You need to consider an aspect of God's word that is new to you. And the only way for that to happen is for you to spend time reading God's word. You need to think about the things that have gone on during your day and consider the uniqueness of them. You need to remember some of the new people that you've met during the day. You need to live a considered life, a life that is thought out and thoughtful. I would say to you, if you're not doing that, if that's not how you're living your life, that you consider beginning to do that. You consider adding aspects to your life that challenge you, that grow you, that make you become more than you are. God is not in the business of leaving you as babes. He wants you to grow and mature. And that growing and maturing is not just the effort against sin. It's the effort to become more like Him. And sometimes we rule against sin so much that we never ever become like God. Remember, if I rule against the sin of my flesh, but I do not walk with God, I'm likely to lose the war and gain nothing in the matter. And so I would say to you today, as you're spending your life, you need to rule against your flesh. You need to rule against your heart turning toward God. But you also need to fill your heart and your mind with God's truth, with the situations of the day considered through the introspection of the Holy Spirit. And you need to become more and better at everything you do, both spiritual and physical, so that you might be a blessing to the kingdom of God and a blessing to the people that you live among. And making that a part of your life and making that an aspect of your life is very powerful and very important. So I pray that that will be the case for you. I pray that you will walk in that and become more and more each and every day.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that He'll make His face to shine upon you, and that He will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.